Today, our road trip moves us further south to Los Angeles, where I have the opportunity to share with you a really exciting young artist who has already in his short life had an extremely impressive career. Gehinde Wiley was selected to be the portrait artist to paint Barack and Michelle Obama for the National Portrait Gallery at the Smithsonian Institution. But before that, Gehinde Wiley had an already impressive career. He holds a Master of Fine Arts degree from Yale. He's held prestigious artist in residence slots at various different institutions and museums. And he travels the world painting people of color in many different cultures and many different countries. I've included many different links to videos that will help you understand this artist's career, as well as understand his role in the history of California and in West Coast art. Gehinde Wiley is the son of a Nigerian immigrant. He grew up in Los Angeles, and he continues to make the city an important part of his work. He started out by finding youth on the streets in South Central Los Angeles and asking if they wanted to be painted in a classical European style. Gehinde Wiley was always fascinated by portraits in the Dutch and Flemish style that showed powerful men with their wealth displayed before them and with the view of the land that they owned in the background. However, he noticed that he never could see a representation of himself in those images, or any people of color for that matter. And so he decided to shift the perspective by depicting people of color in powerful ways that they before had not had access to. To use European imagery of power and strength and dignity in a way that it had not been used before. Heretofore, this mode of imagery was used to exclude, to delineate the boundaries of power, to determine who had power and who did not have power. And Gehinde Wiley takes and turns that on its head and uses this imagery to redefine power, to redefine beauty, and to bring this much-needed representation into the gallery space. Several of the images that I selected for the worship packet actually are modeled after stained glass windows of churches. In fact, Gehinde Wiley will take images of saints and replace those saints with people of color, modern in their clothes that they would wear on the streets of Los Angeles, and to position them in the exact environment that the saint was in on that stained glass window. If you take a look at the image that I chose for the cover of the PDF, you'll notice it's called Mary, Comforter of the Afflicted. And it almost looks like it was created for this very present moment in our history, even though this painting is several years old already. What it does is it invites us to reimagine the figures of the nativity story. It invites us to rethink them in terms of gender, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of role, in terms of geographic location. It invites us to think about the nativity as something that could occur today, as if the Christ child is being born in Los Angeles, in our very midst, in environments that we don't usually consider. But also, moreover, there's an even greater level of representation of Los Angeles in that if you look at the way that the Mary figure is portrayed, it almost appears in the visual style of a Virgin of Guadalupe, therefore a nod to the Chicano roots of Los Angeles and the importance of the Virgin of Guadalupe in Chicano culture. There is undoubtedly something captivating about Gehinde Wiley's work, something unique, something that has earned it its rightful place in the forefront of what is going on with contemporary art in our present moment. But I want to shift for a minute to talk a little bit about the scripture that is the lectionary text for today, as well as the article that I asked you to read to pair with that as a conversation partner. Essentially, the scripture that we read today is a parable, and it's a really simple one, almost one that seems rather obvious. Essentially, Jesus is saying seeds planted in fertile soil will sprout. They will bear fruit. The seeds that are scattered on the hard earth will be taken away by the birds, or the seeds that are planted in rocky soil might take root, but they won't have strong roots and therefore will be blown away. But the seeds that are planted in the rich and the fertile soil are the seeds that will prosper. If you've ever done gardening, this is surely a parable that you would have already known. But I thought it was perfect to pair with the article about different forms of racism. This is an article that I first encountered in an anti-racism training when I was in divinity school, and it's something that I've seen pop up several times since then, and I was so happy that I found it and am able to share it with you, because it makes sense in light of our parable that we read this week. She discusses an experience of gardening where she had two flower boxes, one with fresh, rich soil and the other with not so good soil. She had a packet of red and a packet of pink blossoms, and preferring the one over the other, she put her preference into the rich soil and the ones she didn't like so much into the other box of soil, and exactly what she thought would happen occurred. The blossoms and the rich soil became vibrant, and the ones in the not-so-good soil ultimately were disappointing. Year after year goes by, and the seeds sprout again, and soon enough, she sees that year in and year out, the red blossoms, the ones that she originally preferred, are strong and well, and the pink blossoms, they aren't doing so well. And 10 years later, she says, "I was right to prefer the red blossoms." And this helps us understand the different levels of racism, the initial separating of the seeds into two different types of soil, and then the contemporary structures which keep those seed beds separate, and then the acts of omission where we do not address the differences between the soils over the years. And then the normalization of all of these institutionalized aspects, which then cement in the gardener's mind that their preference for the red blossoms was indeed justified in the beginning. She uses this to illustrate personally mediated racism, internalized racism, and systemic racism. Personally mediated racism comes from the gardener, the gardener's preference for the red over the pink, and the fact that the gardener will even pluck off the pink blossoms before they've had a chance to fully develop because she already is under the impression that they are not going to fully blossom. And then, of course, there's the institutionalized racism, which is the separation of the flower beds and the fact that the conditions are unequal between the two. And the internalized racism, which tells the pink blossoms that red is better and that they don't want any more of that pink pollen. The pink blossoms have internalized the position in which their soil has put them in. And so she says, if we want to make things right in this garden, we have to address the internalized racism. We have to address the systemic racism by mixing the soil together, by improving the soil, and by working with the gardener so that they stop their mediated acts of preference for the red blossoms over the pink. This short article does not hold all of the answers to solve these major issues, but it's an important part of anti-racism training as we begin to understand the work that lies before us. Gehinde Wiley, his work, I see, is occupying an important place in shifting the modalities of power so that people of color see themselves represented in spaces which before had been off limits. by using artistic techniques that had been used at one time to exclude, to now include. To use the gallery space so that it might look more like the actual population of our many diverse cities. I hope that you will take some time to read the article if you haven't already, and to explore Kehinde's work, because I think that it represents something that's very needed at this moment in our history, and it's something that is exciting that is going on in the history of California art, and I hope that you enjoyed this stop on our California summer road trip. Until next time, amen.